July, Year of God, 894. 1. King Gorgias' Bedchamber, Royal Palace, City of Trangier, Kingdom of Taro. King Gorgias woke up rather abruptly. A hand suddenly clamped over one's mouth in the middle of the night tended to have that effect, especially upon a king whose bedchamber was at the top of the central keep of an old-fashioned castle, well provided with guardsmen. His eyes flew open, and he started to struggle, only to stop almost instantly. There were two reasons for that. One was that the hand over his mouth might as well have been a gentle, hand-shaped steel clamp. The other was that he'd just become aware of the tip of what seemed to be an exceedingly sharp dagger pressed against the base of his throat. The night, he decided, was going rapidly from bad to worse.
"I'd appreciate it if you'd be calm, Your Majesty," a tenor voice he'd never heard before in his life said. "If I'd only wanted to cut your throat, I wouldn't have bothered to wake you up first."
The calm voice sounded almost insanely reasonable, like that of a man simply pointing out that thunderclouds often meant rain. Gorgias could just make out the silhouette of a man's head against the dim glow of the bedchamber's gauzy moonstruck drapes, and he felt a stab of gratitude that Roland was having a fretful night and Mile had insisted on having her own bed made up in the nursery tonight. At the time, he'd thought it was charmingly sweet of her to want to personally oversee the nurses. At the moment, he was deeply grateful that at least his wife and son were somewhere else.
"On the other hand," the voice went on pleasantly, "I'm quite sure that if, for some reason, I decided I did want to cut your throat, I could do it long before any of your guardsmen could respond to any shout on your part. If I decided to take my hand off of your mouth so the two of us could speak as one civilized man to another, do you think you could bear that in mind? The bit about my being able to kill you before anyone else gets here, I mean?"
Gorgias decided the owner of the voice must be mad. Still, he was very much in favor of anything which left him with his throat uncut, and so he nodded firmly.
"Excellent."
The hand left his mouth, and the man to whom it belonged bowed slightly. Gorgias' eyes were able to pick out a little more detail now, and he realized the intruder in his bedchamber was considerably taller and broader in the shoulders than he himself. He also appeared to be clean-shaven, and he spoke with what Gorgias now recognized as a Silkayan accent.
"I apologize for my unconventional methods, Your Majesty. I really do need to speak to you, though, and I'm of the opinion that neither of us would like your guardsmen, your courtiers, or especially Vicar Jaspar to become aware of the fact that we have."
Gorgias' stomach seemed to congeal. He couldn't be certain in the dimness, but it looked to him as if his visitor had smiled.
"The thing is, Your Majesty," the Silkayan continued chattily, "I thought it might be a good idea for me to give a little nudge to your correspondence with Earl Grey Harbor. You may not be aware that by this time their majesties will have arrived back in Telisburg, but I imagine that probably means the somewhat desultory pace of that correspondence will be picking up in the next few 5 days."
Gorgias felt as if someone had just punched him. No one in Trangier, no one, with the exception of Sir Rick Farman, knew about the cautious notes which had passed back and forth between him and the Empire of Caris's first counselor. He hadn't mentioned them even to Baron Stonekeep. So how did whoever this was...
"I don't know what you're talking about," he managed to get out.
Even to his own ears, though, it sounded like an automatic, instinctive denial, with very little relationship to the truth.
"Your Majesty," the Silkayan chided, and actually clicked his tongue at the king. "You know perfectly well what I'm referring to," he continued scoldingly. "I'm afraid we don't have time to stand around all night while you deny it, though. And no, Sir Rick isn't how I found out about it. The casual reference to Farman was the final blow. Obviously, whoever this lunatic was, he knew everything. All right, Gorgeous sighed. Of course I know what you're talking about. But who the Shanwei are you, and what are you doing in my bedchamber? Much better, Your Majesty, the other man said in an approving tone. As for introductions, my name is Abraham Jevons. I know that doesn't mean anything to you, but you can think of me as a close friend of Marilyn Athrawis. Of course, you're familiar with that name. Of course I am, Gorsha said slowly, and his eyes narrowed. Everyone in the world knew Merlin Athrawis was a Sajan. If this fellow, this Jevons, was a close friend of his, that might explain how he came to be in Gorsha's bedroom in the middle of the night. Even as he considered that, the king was aware of a vast sense of ill usage. After so many centuries without a single confirmed, genuine sighting of a Sajan, it seemed particularly unfair that Caleb of Karras should have an apparently unlimited number of them when Gorsha didn't even have one. "Should I take it then," he asked his visitor, "that you're also a Sajan?" "Let's just say that, like Merlin, I possess a few of the talents and abilities ascribed to Sajans," Jevons replied. "And since he's unfortunately still some 5 days out of Telesburg, on his way home from Coruscant at the moment, you might say I'm deputizing for him."
"I see."
Gorsha gazed at the dimly seen profile for a few moments, then shrugged. "Since you appear to be here as a messenger, may I at least sit up in bed without your dagger doing anything hasty?"
"By all means, Your Majesty," Jevons agreed courteously.
"Thank you,"